and what comes next. So does pleasure clearly translates to anger, but what does anger translate to? And is it a kind of mere consumption of the image, or does it actually produce any kind of action? So that's what I would say.
I had just a question. So you mentioned briefly about in Nigeria how kind of the calls for a kind of greater community ended up just sort of in this democratization of violence, or the kind of widespread kind of ethnically based forms of violence. I was just wondering, or these violent movements is the purpose to gain like a larger share of oil land, or is it against oil altogether? I mean, is it a various thing of sorts of revolutionary activities, or
I think it's all of that, not necessarily an attempt to acquire more land, but an attempt to acquire more of the rents, right? To acquire more of the money that is produced through oil. And I think it's a really sticky question in terms of, because there are so many of these militant groups and what they're all after. And part of my concern is that some of it seems to be merely violence for the sake of violence, right, rather than for some other goal. But yes, there are, the violence is, the sabotage is directed against the oil installations themselves, but also an attempt not merely to eliminate oil extraction. I don't know that that's what anybody is really after at this point, but rather to benefit more and to mitigate the environmental effects, and to force companies like Shell to use the kind of practices in the Niger Delta that they use in Texas or Canada or California. I don't know. What Shell is able to do. You saw some of it in the photographs in Nigeria, but there's no way they could do that. It's like an Anwar.
I have a question. I appreciate that you articulated environmental as a criterion, because sometimes it really bothers me that how the American intellectuals, you know, mention about environmentalism while constant war, violence is going on through their tax money. For me, the people, the intellectuals, have a tendency not to bother with the fear so that they can invade their space. Then, in a way, the more, you know, it's very difficult for me as an to hear the American, you use the word yes, but for me, I want you to use the US. For me, the West, the line is really funny. So anyway.
The line between the US and the West?
No, the West and the West.
Oh.
Right, because of a lot of translations that is disseminated at this point, and it's very difficult. So for me, you know, rather than, I want to so I just, you know, how would you digest the violence out there by your tax money? And particularly in environmentalism, you know, for me, it comes out of the system.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I would want to say is that in making the strong argument that I'm making, by no means am I trying to make a blanket statement about all environmental activity in the U.S., but rather to think about an intellectual tendency that has a long history, so that joins, you know, where my tax dollars, not yours, right, but where my tax dollars are going today, this very moment, to these earlier histories in which the West would be the term, rather than the U.S. I'm trying to think in a
escaping me, of a kind of lovely anecdote of American imperialism that combines an environmental component. Maybe someone can rescue me. But I think it's a point worth thinking about in terms of fighting battles over there so we don't have to fight them over here, right? Sort of prize some logic that we heard a few years ago. I wish I had a lovely example of the way that questions of the environment play right into that. I'm thinking of Kuwait.
I mean, Saddam and then the atoms, Saddam and then led to the oil.
Yeah, and exactly. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I saw a film, both a feature film and then a documentary film about this very process of the completely apocalyptic landscape of that those oil installations on fire, wasting of the oil. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Oil, obviously. Yes.
Also the saving of nature, and keeping the environment